Good afternoon. It's 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, the last day of July. I'm Brian Shields. The time is here for us to welcome Rich Guthrie back to the programs. He's here to answer your birding questions and comments. The number to call, 800-348-2551. Again, the number to call is 800-348-2551. You can also email your questions to us at voxpop@wamc.org. Again, Rich Guthrie, Birds Today on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. We'll take your birding questions right after the news. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in program. I'm Brian Shields. We're discussing birds today. Our resident avian expert, Rich Guthrie, returns to the program today to answer your questions. Rich is retired from the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. He's a board member of the State Ornithological Association and the regional reviewer for the premier birding site, eBird. The number to call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email your questions to voxpop@wamc.org, tweet us at WAMCVoxPop, but again, the number, 800-348-2551. Rich, welcome back to Vox Pop.
Hey, it's great to be here, Brian. Thank you.
It's been a pretty hot summer. How do birds do in the heat?
They do fine. They have that wonderful insulation called down feathers, you know, down jackets. They wear them all the time. And that keeps in the heat, keeps out the heat, keeps in the body temperature nicely regulated. When it gets really hot, they cool off by panting. That is breathing, respirating through the, just like a dog.
Yeah.
They have to do it by breathing fast through the mouth. You see them, they're sitting there. They have their mouth wide open.
Yeah.
Looks like they want to say something, but they're not going to.
800-348-2551. Birds, Rich Guthrie, our first caller, Mike in Saratoga Springs. Mike?
Oh, hello. Good afternoon. Hi, Rich.
Hello
I am going to start. Hi, I'm going to start today's shows off on a little bit dark note. I got addicted to one of these shows on Netflix, real crime drama about a murder in Virginia. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but in any case, the theory was never presented, but all over the internet, and at near the end of the trial, the proposition that the person, due to the injuries on the top of her head who died, may have been attacked by a barred owl. And I was curious, and it was kind of during nesting season, so I just wanted to get your opinion as to the possibility of that and what type of injuries. If the person freaked out, what would the owl do?
Well, no, I don't buy it. If I were on a jury, I would say the owl is not guilty. It would take a considerable amount of force to create that sort of cranial injury. So and barred owls don't have it. You know, they may come down and hardly likely. Barred owls are not into that category of aggressiveness, I don't believe. But they may come down and crease a scalp, which may cause a new part in the hair. Aside from that, you know, not an interesting theory, but jury says no.
Okay. Thanks, Rich.
Thank you.
Okay.
The owl has been acquitted. 800-348-2551. 800. They always have that kind of, I mean, business look on them, don't they?
Well, they certainly
owls?
Do.
Yeah.
And the barred owl, they're rather benign.
Yeah.
Docile to a point. If you start messing with their babies, then you may have a feathered fight on your hands.
That reminds me of a red-winged blackbird when I was a kid. They would dive at your head.
All show. All show. They come.
It was a good show, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's impressive, and convincing, and they mean business, but they have their limits. So they may, actually.
They won't peck your head, or.
Well, they might.
They might.
But you know what? They're not going to. It'll get you to move away faster,
that's
their job.
It did. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Birds with Rich Guthrie in Bethlehem today. It's Ben.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon.
Hi.
For the last several, mostly in the spring, our family has noticed a crow-sized bird.
A what?
a crow-sized bird.
Oh, okay.
That has kind of a triangular-shaped bill, maybe webbed feet. It will light into trees, and when it does, it walks very slowly along the branches. Its call is a very guttural, low frequency, and it can travel quite a while. And we've tried to figure out, I don't think it's a green heron or anything like that. We just can't figure out what kind of bird that could be. And this may not be enough information for you to go on.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb myself with that one. And I'm going to suggest, how about a wood duck? And wood ducks would do that. They nest, as the name suggests, they nest in trees in the woods. The female is not very, let's say, colorful, rather nondescript, except for a bright white patch around the eye. And she will get out onto a nest, and perhaps that guttural call that you hear is a sort of a courtship call. But they have let me just go with wood duck. Let me just suggest that female, and we got the bird guide out here showing Brian and perhaps folks who are watching on the monitor. I would suggest that you probably have a nesting pair of wood ducks in your yard. And congratulations.
Oh, good. They do fly in a straight line like a duck does.
Very fast.
And the second part of the question is, how does one identify birds by calls? It's one thing to be able to see a bird and see its plumage and things and go online or in a bird book. But when it's a call, it's much more difficult to try and figure out what the bird is.
You're right about that. And that brings on up to a favorite topic of mine, and that is the distinction between the word call and that of song. Calls are quite different than songs and have quite often a wider variety of meanings, and also are more generic and harder to identify. Songs are the realm of the songbird, and broken down, it's even limited mostly to the male. So songbirds sing, lots of birds call. And you can go to a couple of apps online. You can go to Cornell University site, What Bird, and or Merlin, there are a couple of other apps that you can find online, and they will give you songs for songbirds and calls for calling birds.
Thank you very much.
Quite welcome. Thank you.
It's 800-348-2551, the number to call. We're talking birds today with Rich Guthrie. 800-348-2551. The email address, voxpop@wamc. Tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. Let's talk to Sharon and Troy. Sharon and Troy, go ahead.
Hi. I've been visiting Prospect Park, which is an urban park in Troy, early in the morning, and I've been seeing a hawk that I can't identify. I try taking pictures with my phone, which are not very good because I can't get my focus right on the phone. Someone told me they thought it might be a sharp-shinned.
Ooh, okay.
But that's described as being only the size of a jay.
Right.
And this hawk is slightly larger than a crow, I would say.
Okay. Well, there are two possibilities. Well, several possibilities, but you've narrowed it down quite nicely for me, making it nice and easy for me. the sharp-shinned and Cooper's hawk are very similar in appearance. And the main difference between them is size. The sharp-shinned, as you point out, is the size of a jay. The male is. The females are larger, interestingly enough. Hawks are larger than the males. And the Cooper's hawk is the size of a crow, roughly speaking. So I'm going to...
Oh, if I was seeing the female, would she be maybe a little larger than a crow?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And they will nest... it's a little unusual for them to be in an active park setting where there may be people out there playing frisbee or football or
softball. Well, you know, I walk early in the park when no one else is there.
Yeah, but later in the day there are other people, and that might be distracting for the birds.
So, and there's a lot, and there's a bunch of wooded area that sort of surrounds the part of the park where people are actively involved.
And that's what they like. And they also
it's possible for them to come into the mown grass area during the early morning and then retreat to the wooded area when people are around?
Yes. Cooper's hawks like woods, and they also like pigeons. and pigeons like parks. So that could be their bagel stop in the morning.
Well, I have seen little clusters of feathers on the ground that I thought was probably represented the demise of some smaller bird.
Well, back to the initial caller, I'm going to say in this case, it sounds guilty to me.
Okay. So prominent looking on the white in the front, is that right?
No, not really. They can have white. They do have white parts of their plumage, but not prominent on the front. I may back up a little bit and suggest a red-tailed hawk, which is much larger than a crow.
And it definitely doesn't seem like I feel like I can identify red tails.
Oh, okay.
Because I can tell by their tails, in fact. Whoa. And this one definitely didn't look like a red tail to me.
Okay, young red tails don't have red tails.
Okay, so it could be a young pair.
Uh-huh.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Very well. Give it another go and keep us posted.
All right, I'll keep looking. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. The number to call is 800-348-2551. Birds with Rich Guthrie, 800-348-2551. More in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans. Hand-picked selection of wines, single malts, and small batch bourbons, grapesandgrainswine.com. Amherst Copy and Design Works, offering printing and copying, sign making and design services, from booklets to stationery and labels to lawn signs in downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, amherstcopy.com. Park Building and Millwork Schenectady, featuring their kitchen and flooring showroom with design consultants available. Millwork specialists create custom doors and molding for individual design needs. 518-372-8253. Stavros, helping people with disabilities achieve their dreams. Offices in Amherst, Greenfield, and Springfield. Stavros.org for more information. And Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, offering hot tubs in 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. ElementsHotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery.
Birds with Rich Guthrie. You can email your questions to voxpop@wamc.org. Here's an email from Russell. Is it my imagination or have bird populations dropped off in the past few years? It seems awfully quiet out there. Too quiet.
Well, it ought to be very quiet right now, which suggests we're in the midst of the summer doldrums in the bird world. And what's happening is most of the birds have finished nesting, most of them. There are a few that will nest again. They will build a second, have a second brood or perhaps even a third brood. But most of the birds have finished nesting. The young are off the nest. The adults are getting ready to shed all their feathers, grow new ones. And then those that choose to, those that do, will start migrating south by now. So, all intents and purposes, they're done with the business of singing and being active and visible. When they're molting feathers, they're really not feeling good at all. It's not a good day for them. And so they'll lay low and quiet and just try to stay out of sight. The young birds, well, they'll be out there trying to figure out how to get the next meal on their own. And but to answer your basic question is, yeah, some birds have diminished in numbers. For various reasons, and some birds have not. Some have actually increased in numbers. The sensitive species, such as the wood thrush, which requires a nice patch of quiet woods where they can nest without harm or without threat, are experiencing a serious decline because of intrusions and predation brought on by openings into the woods that bring pathways for predators to gain access to their otherwise well-concealed nests. And then other birds such as swallows, the insect-eating birds, may be affected by the decrease of insects. These are flying insects such as moths or grasshoppers or other daytime flying insects that they feed on. And so lack of food brings down their numbers. So I've been noticing a decrease, and this is anecdotal, a decrease in the number of swallows that I see around. And then we see that the nighthawks have virtually disappeared from our area, and the chimney swifts and other flying insect-eating birds appear to have taken a dip in numbers. So, yeah, your observations are keeping up with what I've been seeing out there and others have been reporting. So there is some concern for conservation. The important thing, one of the important things right now, because there are so many baby birds out there that just don't know the rules, that are still learning, are very vulnerable to outdoor cats. So I want to urge folks, I urge folks to keep your cats indoors. If you're inclined to keep cats outdoors, build a little shelter for them, a little category for them, so that they can enjoy the outdoors while not being a threat to the wildlife, the birds and the wildlife out there.
This is my anecdotal observation. A lot more cardinals, no blue jays. I haven't seen a blue jay all year.
I got them all.
Cardinals seem to be all over the place.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I've got all the blue jays in the neighborhood. They come to my. In fact, I love the little guys.
They're not little,
but they're a lot smaller than I am. And they'll come and they'll hop right up to near where I am.
Really.
They're so trusting. They're smart. They know that they've got a buddy in the room.
800-348-2551. Deanne in Lake Hill.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I had last year a wren who made a nest in a small little house that I had in my fenced-in patio. I had two babies. It was wonderful. I believe he came back this year. He built a new nest. And he was screaming and yelling for months for a mate. Doesn't seem like he ever found a mate, and now he's gone. So what happened?
Gave up and went away. I guess he didn't have it. No, I'm being a little facetious, but that's what happens. And screaming, no, that's his song. That's his song he's out there trying to lure in a mate into the territory that he has set up. It's the female that chooses where to nest.
And, well, there were, you know, he had several visitors,
mm-hmm.
and I was just wondering, perhaps he was just too loud?
No, that's not it. There'd be some other factor. And I can't read the mind of females, especially female birds. So I can't help you there. There was something going on that he just didn't have it. And so he'll try again next year, let's hope.
Do you think it's the same wren from last year?
It's hard to tell, except by banding, and likelihood is yes. Birds do tend to come back to where they were the prior year. There's site fidelity.
So is it good? Because I cleaned out the feeder, the house, so that he could build a new one this year rather than leaving the old one from last year, the nest?
That's a good idea. There may have been something about what was in the nest box itself that discouraged the female from making that choice.
Maybe I should put air fresheners in this year.
Maybe do what?
Put an air freshener in.
No.
I'm kidding.
I know. I can tell.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
800-348-2551. David is in Athens. David.
I've got a weird question. I had a sharp shin hawk go into my camper last year chasing a grackle.
Mm-hmm.
And I caught him. And the grackle got out, and for the last 3 years now or so, he's been coming back squawking at me. Is that normal?
No. And I can't imagine. Who's been, the grackle or the hawk?
The hawk.
Oh, that's very unusual.
He comes back, sits in a tree across from my camper, and just squawks at me.
I'd be curious to hear what that sounds like. Because first of all, nothing personal. It's not you.
Yeah.
But hawks, for the most part, are usually quiet. And what they don't do is they don't take out revenge or vengeance. Something else must be going on there. So I have a hard time interpreting what's happening with that scene. See if you can get a recording. See if you can get the sound on audio. And let's hear it. I'd be very curious to know what a Sharpshin hawk is. A little exhibitor. Yep. They're interested in catching birds, and a grackle is on the menu. And
he chased it right into my camper, and the grackle got out, and I had to catch the hawk and let him out.
Yeah, that happens all too frequently. They're very good at flying under the canopy of a forest, so they're not afraid of going into dark places. They just don't get the idea that a camper or a house or a barn is not a good place to get inside of, because then they have a hard time finding their way back out again.
Yeah, he was very, very cooperative. Put my T-shirt around him and took him outside and let him go.
Yeah, he's neither grateful nor vengeful. So there's something else happening that's causing him to come back and squawk, make those squawking noises. So see if you can get a capture of it. It's very unusual. Hawks just as soon not be bothered with people.
Okay, I will try.
Oh, so that sounds good.
Thank you very much. 800-348-2551. Birds with Rich Guthrie on Vox Pop. Gene in West Taconic.
Hi. First of all, I have to say I have a lot of birds in my backyard, but maybe it's because I have a feeder out. So I've got a lot of different varieties constantly coming to the feeder. But the reason I called is there is a beautiful call, very musical, and I've been trying to find out what it is. I've Googled, and I can't find anything. So I recorded it. I'm going to try to play it, and I wonder if you know what this bird is. It comes at the very end of this audio, which is not very long.
Okay.
So I'm gonna play it now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully you can hear it.
Listening.
No, don't hear
it. Is anything coming across?
Negatory.
No. Afraid not.
Can you?
I have my phone on speakerphone. Should I take it off speakerphone?
You could give it a try, but yeah. Let's see what happens.
All right, let me give it a try and see if it comes across.
Nope.
No, afraid not, Gene.
Unless you can do an imitation, I'm going to be hard-pressed.
I really can't do an imitation.
All right, then. We'll have to let it pass because I couldn't hear anything, and I wish you luck with that. See if you can perhaps get a different recording, or perhaps a better quality recording, and we'll try again.
Buzz is in Eagle Mills. Buzz.
Hey, a couple quick comments. First is compliments to the person who came up with your theme song at the break. It's called Bird Song.
Was that Jerry Garcia?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so.
And then the second one is last year in a bluebird box, I had 5 clutches of eggs that occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was the same bunch, same pairs. And then this year, a male showed up, and a female never showed up, so I got nothing. But just interesting how it works from year to year. But my real question is, I love crows. I feed them in the wintertime, and I like watching them, and they always look like they always got something going on.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing stuff. But mm-hmm. my question is, I've never seen a crow's nest. Where do they nest?
Ah, good question. Not on ships, despite the popular appellation. The crows nest tall in tall trees, right up towards the top of the canopy, and well into the woods. You'll see the nest, the remnants of the nest, in the winter. They don't build a very substantial nest, so lots of times it falls apart with the autumn winds. But some of the nests are quite sturdy and will be used in subsequent years by other birds, such as great horned owls or broad-winged hawks. So that it's not unusual for you, but if you know what to look for, a stick nest high in a canopy in the woods is a good bet for a crow's nest.
So, like, I live in an area that's country suburbia type. So, in the areas the tree lines and stuff, they wouldn't be in there. They'd be in some forested area then.
Deeper away from the edge of the woods, but visible. Many times you can see them from the road as you drive along the highways after the leaves come off the trees.
I'm sorry. Are they species specific to any kind of tree?
No, deciduous trees for the most part, but I wouldn't put them past being in a conifer. But then again, the leaves don't necessarily come off, and they may be not so conspicuous in the fall.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. Thank you. It's 800-348-2551. Let's talk to Bob in Guilderland. Bob.
Yes. I have a camp up on Sacandaga, and there was some kind of a screeching. I'm assuming it was a bird, around 4 o'clock to about 4:45 in the morning. And it sounded like it was hoarse. Not the animal, like a human that was hoarse when it was screeching.
Right, right. And I'm going to suggest that what you were hearing was young owls, probably great horned owl. They have a rather, as you say, a raspy, high pitch. Well, not too high pitch, but what can
raspy
I say?
Raspy screech.
Yeah, annoying screechy sound with a raspy quality to it. And it sounds to me like it's probably the food call, the I'm hungry call of a baby owl. And they will keep pestering the parents right on through the summer, right into early autumn. Before
that
they become
in the morning when it was completely dark out.
Yes, well, that would be fitting for an owl.
Yeah. And I've been up there like 30 years. Mm-hmm. I have only seen one owl up there that actually was in a tree when I first bought the property. When I was clearing the property, there was crows chasing a huge owl.
Right.
But that's the only two times I've ever seen an owl up there.
Well, my bet is that they're still there, that they're not conspicuous during the day, and at night it's dark and hard to see. But I suspect that with any patch of woods, great horned owls are quite adaptable and will nest nearby people places. So I'm going to suggest it was either great horned or barred owl that you heard. And both the young of either one of them sound pretty much annoyingly alike.
Okay, because I'm up I'm down at the end of the road, and it's all woods where I am.
Sounds good.
So you think it was either a great horned or a barred owl?
That's correct, yeah. You can find out.
Thank you very much, because I was wondering what it was. When I first heard it, I flipped all the lights on the outside. The whole place is lit up, and I'm looking on the ground, and after I got back into bed looking for the thing, I said, you know, I should have looked up in the air.
Maybe, yeah. Well,
okay, thank you very much.
Quite welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. 800-348-2551. It's time for Bird Talk with Rich Guthrie. 800-348-2551. Emails voxpop@wamc.org. Tweet us, WAMCVoxPop. Ernest in East Postenkill. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. On another AMC show, WAMC show, there was a Lyme disease expert suggesting putting up screech owl houses to decrease the mice population. And I did it late in the season, and to my surprise, I got some nesting owls. Here's my question. I saw at least two of them sticking their head out. How many might be in there, and when they leave that box, will they stay around and eat mice?
The second question, the answer is yes. And the first question, usually three, sometimes two, and sometimes four, and perhaps rarely even five. A lot depends on the food availability.
Okay.
So,
and what will I hear? Will I hear them? Because I don't hear anything. I see them, but I never hear them.
Well, keep listening, because they're not especially quiet.
Well, that was my understanding, but yet I'm thinking, what would be the, are they nocturnal? Is that where I'm going to hear them mostly?
Yes, mostly evening and early morning. From let's say, sunset. As soon as it starts getting difficult to read a newspaper at night, outdoors, until when all the stars are out. And then in the morning, the reverse.
And I can leave that box up and they'll hopefully come back again.
Yes. Yeah, it sounds to me, hey, congratulations. Sounds like you did a good job. And
I was shocked from what I was reading. It made it sound like I missed their season, but I put it up anyway and wasn't even looking at it. And then I saw two heads sticking out a couple of weeks ago.
Attaboy.
So I've been watching them now all the time. So everybody's getting one for Christmas.
Attaboy. That's good. I encourage other listeners who might be so inclined to go online and find the diagrams and plans for a screech owl nest box. Works for kestrel hawks and wood ducks as well. So the same design could go any way of three or more ways.
Roger is calling from Utica. Roger?
Yes, hi. I have a brief question about a call and then some comments on loons. My question about the owl is, speaking of the screech owl, I heard a single call, you know, a hoot that lasted maybe 3 or 4 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking it might have been the screech owl, but it appeared to stay on the same pitch, sort of the tonality of a hoot that the loon makes, but carried on pretty clear for like 3 or 4 seconds without the wavering down trend that the screech owl usually has.
It doesn't sound
like ideas.
It does not sound like a screech owl, but it does sound like a possibility, some interesting owl. And if it's repetitious, a single hoot repeated after a short pause of 2 or 3 or 4 seconds, repeated again and again and again, depending on the pitch, I'm going to suggest either long-eared owl, which is where I'd put my money on for the moment, or perhaps even saw-whet owl. Saw-whet has more like a tugboat whistle sound to it. And the long-eared owl has sort of like a reticent owl call. It'll hoot, but not much. It'll hoot and pause and hoot and pause.
Yeah, I would say I heard it maybe 2 or maybe 3 times, but with a fair long interval in between.
Mm.
And I heard it two mornings in a row about 4 o'clock in the morning. This was up near Eagle Bay in a forested area on Moss Lake.
Right, right, right. Well, then there is also the possibility, because great horned owls and barred owls will both give a single hoot and maybe repeat it 2 or 3 times. So you're going to have to do a little homework on that, because there's not enough information to work on. But I'm going to the barred owl and the great horned owl will give that sort of a long that solo hoot, that little hoo, and let it go at that.
Yeah, it was a little longer than that, though.
Okay, well, more information.
Okay, my comments about loons.
Yes, sir.
Loons frequently nest on Moss Lake, on an island that is successfully nesting with ospreys almost every year, including this year. From the mainland around the lake, we could see a loon at nest on the waterfront in an area where they have been known to nest in the past. This was July 16th to the 20th. On the 19th in the afternoon, about 4:30 in the afternoon, they had an interchange between two loons, or single hoot call, looking for each other. The loon left the nest. They met in the lake, maybe 100 yards, 150 yards away, had fairly close contact, and had their tremolo conversation, if you will, that went on for about 2 or 3 minutes. Then they separated, and the loon went back to the nest. The next morning, about 10 o'clock in the morning, the same behavior was repeated, but without the calling. My main question is, has that nest possibly failed and they don't just realize it? Isn't it a little late for loon nesting?
It is not late. It's unusual, not late for late nesters. If an earlier nest may have failed, they may attempt to nest again, but it's not good for baby loons. If we have an early ice in where the loons don't develop enough to be able to take off, to get the running distance to take off. So late nesting loons are asking for trouble, but it does happen.
I've seen a young in the September being taught to fly and being unsuccessful at it.
Yeah, so so it can happen, and that's how this is how the species is sorted out over time.
This is Vox Pop on WAMC. More calls in a moment.
Support for WMC comes from College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts. For over 30 years, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repairs, including tire pressure, exhaust, brakes, and checking engine lights, full-service gas station, collegestreetmotors.com. Slide and Dirty, serving handcrafted sliders, pub fare, and variety of craft beers and spirits in downtown Troy and Schenectady. Trivia every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Food truck catering available for events. Slideanddirty.com. Transitions in Mayfield, New York, working to support young adults with autism and other learning differences with college, careers, and independent living. TransitionsUSA.org. The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter-scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com. And Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, career testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume, and cover letter writing, accepting new clients. Careers in Transition, LLC.com.
Fox Pop on WAMC Birds with Rich Guthrie. Rich, what's going on?
Well, lots of things are happening out there. And just a quick note, to increase your enjoyment of bird activity in your yard, I might suggest adding water as a basic element. A pan of water, a bird bath, or if you want to get really sophisticated, a drip, that is a controlled dripping of water. Birds like water. They actually are dependent on getting water, and they're drawn to moving water. So there are all sorts of possibilities of adding water to your backyard landscape, and I encourage doing so. I can mention that there's a bunch of activities that are out there, and I urge folks to give it a try. Let me just mention a few that are happening. Down in the Lower Hudson Valley, the Mearns Bird Club, mearnsbirdclub.org, on the 11th and 12th, we'll be going to Bombay Hook in Delaware in the area, looking for shorebirds. That's an overnight trip. It's a fun thing to get together with a group of people from the Mearns Bird Club. The Hudson Mohawk Bird Club in the Dutchess County area of the Hudson Valley. In the Albany area, the Capital District. On Sunday, the 19th of August, they'll be going to Peebles Island State Park and the Cohoes Flats. This is a morning trip. Check with them on their website, hmbc.net. And then on the 27th of August through Wednesday, the 29th, each evening at the Albany Pine Bush, one of the area's spectacular events is the migration of nighthawks. Join the Hudson Mohawk Bird Club at the Albany Pine Bush, August 27th through the 29th. And this is at about 6 p.m. in the evening get-together. Stationary, you'll be in the parking area of the visitor center watching the sky for passing nighthawks. The Waterman Bird Club, this is the one in Dutchess County, New York, on the 1st of August. That'll be tomorrow. They're going to Norrie Point State Park. You can meet at the Education Center parking lot at 7:30 in the morning. And each Wednesday through August, they have their Wednesday trips to Turkey Hollow, to Harlem Valley Rail Trail, and more. This is the WatermanBirdClub.org. Check them out on the internet. And then one more, and that is the John Burroughs Natural History Society down in the Kingston area of Ulster County, New York. Shorebirds and Ice Cream, August 4th at 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. at Osopus Meadows near Kingston, New York. That's the John Burroughs Natural History Society. And then I just one more in the Hudson River Audubon Society down in Westchester County. We'll be going to Marshlands Conservancy. Putnam, Westchester County, 7 a.m. at the Marshlands Nature Center. A good place to go and good people to meet. That's it for down there. And if you have any questions that you want to pose to me or photographs that you would like to have identified, it's my email address, Richard P. as in Peter Guthrie, G-U-T-H-R-I-E, at gmail.com. Richard P. Guthrie at gmail.com.
This is Vox Pop on WAMC. Pat's been hanging on a long time. Pat, go ahead.
Hi. I was in the woods yesterday, going to go up in Harvey Mountain, which is in Columbia County. I was going to took my camera to take pictures of sapsuckers going to this gray birch that was in the woods that I had noted earlier in the season. And when I got there, they weren't around at all. But I stood there and was watched, and I could see when I had seen this before, probably a month and a half ago, the sapsuckers would come in, and then the hummingbird would come in, and then the sapsucker would come back and chase the hummingbird away. And then there were question mark butterflies, and there were all kinds of other insects coming in to get the sap. And then yesterday, as I say, the sapsuckers were gone. I didn't see any hummingbirds, but a red squirrel would come in and chase away the wasps that were flying around getting the sap and licking up, spent quite a bit of time licking the sap and then going away for a minute and then coming back and scaring away the wasps again. And it was just fascinating. I just had a grand time.
Well, good for you. What a wonderful sequence of events. And here the sapsucker, which actually doesn't suck sap. It drills into a tree. It's a type of woodpecker. And what
right.
it does is it's just like tapping into maple trees for the syrup, for the sap on the birch trees, as you point out. They like soft wood trees like red maple and gray birch and paper birch and black birch. They'll drill into the tree just a short distance, and then the sap will flow. They'll lap up some sap. And then, as you mentioned, the hummingbirds will follow in, right behind them, and the rest, the parade of help themselvers.
There is a theory that hummingbirds, one of the ways they come north in the winter is following the sapsuckers, because they know regardless of whether the flowers or there's any kind of pollen or nectar is out, that they can get their food from the sapsuckers.
Well, it's a theory that has the potential of working, so... sounds like fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
You're quite welcome. Thank you. Nice,
thank you for calling.
Nice notes.
Let's go to Vermont. Benson, Vermont. Suzanne, go ahead.
Hello. I hope you can you hear me all right?
Sure.
Sure do.
Great. A couple of questions. Thank you so much for your show. Number one, I do not feed the birds in the summertime because of the bear, you know, attraction.
Oh, good for you.
I'm located on the southern part of Lake Champlain.
Mm-hmm.
In my porch, I do have some very small birds that have dark black heads. I don't know if they're little flycatchers, but they like to nest right over the light. Should I take those down since they're finished nesting? Because I'm afraid of fire.
Okay.
Number one.
When they're
they go right over the light in the porch.
I agree with you. Take them down. No problem. They'll build a new nest. In fact, even if they don't, if the nest is there, they may want to build a new nest just next year if they when they come back.
All right, that's number one. And number two, someone had suggested that I get this. I'm a birdologist, wink, wink, and in my next life. And I purchased the Identiflyer.
Okay.
I've used it, but I'm not sure if I should use it because what's happened is there was a flicker on our porch recently, and I went to my little bird just to see. I did the song, not the call, or the call. I did both. And all of a sudden, he went crazy, and another flicker came into the trees. And since they're real recordings, I don't really know what the bird is saying, so I kind of think it's mean. So, I mean, then the flicker came back and was tapping on the metal part of the roof, da-da-da-da-da, you know, maybe wanting a mate or something. So, you know, even though it's a fun tool, and I know you said you like blue jays, but I'm not a fan of blue jays. And, I mean, I love all birds. But so I tried it today, and all these blue jays came. And I said, no, I'm not using this anymore. So what... Yeah, I don't know what they're saying. They're actual recordings. What do you think about that?
Well, you bring up a good point. And what it is birds sing and call, mainly sing to protect their territory against rival males. And so
okay.
what you're doing, what has happened is you're playing the song of what they perceive to be a rival male.
Okay.
And so they're getting their defenses up and working to find out where this guy is and
right.
see what they can do to get him out of there.
Yeah, so I don't think it's a good tool. I mean, I think if I'm in my house and I want to memorize the call, I think it's fine for that.
Yes.
But, you know, I don't think it's that kind to be out in the woods playing it and see, you know, we don't know what they're saying. But.
Well, here's the thing about that. Everything in moderation. If and people of scientists will use those songs to detect the presence or absence of a bird in a particular territory, And they could use that song.
Well, for scientists, that's fine, but I don't think I'm going to use it, only in my house. And one other thing, too, I also live down on the Blackstone River and north of Providence and south of Worcester. And I didn't see the attack, but there was this huge, huge hawk down on the embankment because our home is over right on the river, and but it's high up on a ledge. And I saw this hawk tearing apart a mallard duck.
Mm-hmm.
I did catch your Gmail. I do have some interesting pictures. I wouldn't call them nice. But would he have taken that duck down himself?
Could very well have. Yes.
He just was hovering over it, and his whole tail feathers would spread out. And if he knew I was watching him,
well, it's very dramatic. It's very dramatic, but it's a jungle out there.
Yeah, thank you, Rich. It was. My husband couldn't watch it. I said, John, this is so interesting. He said, no, I cannot see it.
Well,
so I did take a few pictures because it's a jungle there and it's nature. So
I understand.
Photos.
And good for you and not good for the duck.
800-348-2551. Yeah, those nature shows can be hard to watch sometimes.
But so can nature.
Yeah, that's the way they operate. John and Phoenicia. John, go ahead.
Hey, Richie. Brian. Very simple question, and maybe you've answered this before, but the difference between a crow and a raven, is there a difference? And please enlighten us. Thank you.
Okay. It's easy. It's all size matters. The raven is big, really big. Well, I'll back up a little bit. The crow is big, and the raven is really big. But the real diagnostic ways of telling them is by sound. The crow has that all American ah ah ah. The raven has this Edgar Allan Poe call that goes ark 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 ark. And they also have an interesting repertoire of other sounds, like sometimes they could sound like a goose, and sometimes a duck, and sometimes just a bunch of toot, toot, toot back and forth, depending on what they're up to. The younger ones have a wider variety of sounds, but the telltale sound of the raven is that guttural, long-distance traveling sound that they make is ark, ark, and you could hear them coming in from a mile away. The diagnostic on the raven is they have a huge honker of a bill and a long wedge shape, a pointy tip tail. Not pointy like a dove, but a wedge-shaped tail. They tend to glide more than they flap, where the crow is constantly flapping, rowing through the air, where the raven will slide through the air more often. So with a little practice, and up in your neck of the woods in the Catskill Mountains area there, you'll have both of them there. No shortage of ravens up your way.
Terrific. Thank you very much.
Thank
You're
you very
quite
much.
Welcome. Thanks for the call.
Have you heard a raven ever say nevermore?
I thought I did.
Did you really?
But I wasn't listening closely. I didn't want to pay. I moved on.
Judy is in Newburgh. Go ahead. Hello, Judy. Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I live here in Newburgh, New York, in the Hudson Valley, and it's pretty common in the winter to see bald eagles perched along the river, but this is the first year that we have a successful mating pair of bald eagles here in the city of Newburgh.
Wonderful.
It's almost in my backyard. Oh, it's been a thrill for everybody.
Well,
At the top of Mount St. Mary's College, so it's up at the top of the hill, and they arrived in January or February, built their nest really fast, had their two eaglets that both survived attacks by osprey and all kinds of things.
Well,
eaglets have fledged.
Congratulations.
They are flying around.
Congratulations.
We are so excited for this.
Yeah. Well, let me suggest, if you're in the Hudson Valley, get a hold of the Hudson River Almanac. You can get that on the New York State DEC, Department of Environmental Conservation, even if you're not in the Valley. There's some very interesting observations that are shared on there. And you can also share your observations via the Hudson River Almanac.
Thank you. Now, I have one question. Mm-hmm. Since they are fledged, they have pretty much all left the nest. They're actually the whole family's nesting in a large cedar tree on the other side of our house. when are they going to fly away, and will the whole family fly together? And are we going? Are they going to Canada, Alaska? Where? What would be the route up the Hudson Valley for eagles?
Well, it's hard to tell. Young eagles, first of all, this population here in the Northeast, is in the Hudson Valley and the Connecticut River Valley up the Lake Champlain, pretty much a whole bunch of new arrival eagles. They were virtually extirpated in the area in the past. So they're learning new patterns of behavior. I would say that the eagles, first of all, will hang around. They won't stay together so much. For a little while longer, perhaps, but there's no true affinity. Adult pairs will probably be the same two birds that come back again next spring to nest in the area, but the young will move on.
We hope so.
They could very well. We have tracked eagles that will wander north into Canada, as you suggest, and then also go down into New Jersey, North Carolina, or the Mississippi River Valley, and many of them will just plain stick around. No need to leave.
And we're just about out of time. I'd like to thank all the folks who called in and apologize to the many callers we left on the line. A very busy program today, and big thanks to Rich Guthrie for joining us. Support for WAMC comes from Mass Match. Over 16 years, a locally owned dating and matchmaking service connecting singles through private matchmaking in Western Massachusetts and beyond. MassMatch.com. Act Smart New York, Saratoga Springs, offering individualized outpatient counseling and Suboxone treatment for opioid use disorder and medical treatment for alcohol problems. ActSmartNewYork.com. Wild Bird Junction Backyard Nature Shop, 308 Delaware Avenue in Delmar, offering wild bird seed, bird feeders, bird houses, bird baths, garden decor, chimes, binoculars, and garden and nature gifts. WildBirdJunction.com. The Wild Center, dedicated to strengthening our connections to the natural world. WildCenter.org for details. Our engineer today, Zach Malloy, Colleen O'Connell answered your calls. Our producer, Jim Lavoulis, on Brian Shields. Tomorrow, the world of physical therapy. Stay tuned now for a news update.